I'm Marco Werman, and you're listening to The World. It's good to have you with us today, a day when we've got a writer who will introduce us to a jihadi who surfs, and we'll hear just how green Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau really is. That's later in the show. Let's talk first about President Trump's plans for Syria. Trump is reportedly pulling the plug on U.S. support for rebel groups fighting the regime of President Bashar al-Assad, specifically a covert CIA program launched under President Obama to arm and train the more moderate rebels in Syria. It's bad news for General Salam Idris, former head of the Free Syrian Army.
The Friends of Syrian Revolution decided to abandon us and to leave us falling under the Russian and Iranian occupation. And here we Syrians have the right to ask this very important question. Are there agreements and secrets and secret deals being implemented these days at the expense of the blood and sacrifices of the Syrian people? That is our question.
The World's Rich Hall in Beirut says the CIA program was never likely to topple Assad, but was designed instead to give the U.S. some influence on the battlefield.
You had this kind of weird stuff of spy films going on in southern Turkey and in Jordan, where you'd have CIA officers meeting with rebel commanders in hotels in southern Turkey, handing out suitcases full of cash. And we know from reports that fighters were paid around $100 a month and commanders were paid a bit more than that.
My sense is that this program was pretty half-hearted and ineffective all along. I mean, I remember reading that CIA-funded units at one point were shooting at Pentagon-funded troops. I mean, it wasn't exactly a success story, was it?
It wasn't, no. I mean, half-hearted is being generous, I think. So early on, you would have stories and comments from rebel commanders complaining that they weren't getting enough ammunition, for example. They would come to the CIA officers with these plans for operations against Assad, and it would take them weeks to get the bullets. And by the time they got the ammunition and the bullets, they would say, well, this operation's not viable anymore. There was loads of stories like this. And then when the U.S. bombed al-Qaeda in 2014, al-Qaeda started going after a lot of these groups. And some got swallowed up by other groups. Some defected to al-Qaeda. Weapons went missing. That was a big scandal at the time. And there was a sense that the operation was never quite nimble enough. It was never quick enough to keep up with the changing face of the battlefield in Syria, which changed all the time.
What about the rebel units that are funded by the Pentagon? Will that program continue?
That's right. To add to the confusion, there's another separate program where the Pentagon is funding rebel units. These are specifically to fight the Islamic State. And they are made up of a Kurdish and Arab coalition called the SDF. And they are currently fighting in Raqqa and doing very well against ISIS.
Now, I know the Russians were not happy with the CIA-funded program, but is canceling it a way for the U.S. to make an effort toward mending fences with Russia without losing too much face in the war in Syria, or is it too late for that?
Yeah, this is the point that Obama administration officials are making today, that regardless of the ineffectiveness or effectiveness of the program, it did afford the U.S. some leverage in Syria. And who knows what could have been negotiated in return for giving up this program. They could have perhaps negotiated access for humanitarian organizations. There could have been some amnesties, and we'll never know.
What's been the reaction of the rebel groups who were receiving aid and are not now?
So I managed to speak to some rebel commanders through a source of mine, and the first reaction was that they were just shocked. They didn't see this coming at all. And now they're kind of in a wait-and-see mode. They're waiting to see how much of the program is going to be stopped, whether it's going to be all of it or part of it. And some of them are already thinking about other sources of funding.
Mm. What does this mean for U.S. Syria policy and for Syria?
The EU and the U.S. appear to be converging on this matter. Despite all the tough talk, they're kind of recognizing that Assad is probably going to stay. And there's also a recognition that Russia and Iran are kind of running the show in Syria now. And the focus now for the U.S. at least is purely on defeating ISIS. We had a statement from John McCain before I came on air, and he said that very thing. He said that the administration is playing to the hands of Vladimir Putin.
I mean, this is extraordinary. It's an important milestone, it seems, in the war in Syria. It basically says if removing Assad from power ever was a goal of the U.S. engagement there, it is no longer. So how does this impact the fight against ISIS?
Well, there are some that argue that it will embolden more extremist groups like al-Qaeda and groups like that. But there is this separate Pentagon-run program which is providing support to the Kurdish Arab SDF. And that's, as I say, focused purely on fighting ISIS and is doing very well. Supporters of the Syrian government will say, well, if the government doesn't have to fight these rebel groups, then they can go after ISIS more. And they have been doing that more in recent months as the threat of the rebels is subsiding.
It seems the bottom line here is that just about no one any longer believes Syria's president Bashar al-Assad can be driven from power. Does this mean it's game over?
It does seem that way, yeah. I mean, some would argue that the writing has been on the wall for quite a long time. Russia calculated that the U.S. didn't really want to get too involved in Syria. And in the end, they turned out to be right.
The World's Rich Hall in Beirut. Always good to speak with you. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Marco.